Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GHCL Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R.S. Jalan, Managing Director, and Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director, Finance. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ayush Chaturvedi from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is doing great. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over to Mr. Jalan for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ayush. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the GHCL's earnings call for the first quarter ended June 30, 2022. For this call, I'm accompanied by our CFO, Raman, along with Manu and Abhishek. Our results and the analyst presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. I will share my thoughts on the soda ash industry. In the first quarter, demand has remained good, driven by this glass industry, with additional demand coming from the solar glass and lithium carbonate user segment. Supply is constrained by several factors such as high energy prices, disruption in the supply of natural gas to EU market, and Russian-Ukraine situation. Imports into India remained low compared to last few years. Going forward, we believe that this demand and supply scenario shall continue. No significant capacity addition is coming up in near future. However, we are watchful of any adverse development, such as recession scenario impacting demand or cost inflation putting pressure on margins. Prices has remained firm, and we have taken price increases, thus absorbing input, a higher input cost, resulting into better margin. Our focus is on growth initiative, product basket expansion, cost leadership, governance, digitization, sustainability, differentiation initiatives, and HR and leadership. Now, coming to the textile business, there is a slowdown in demand from various end user segments. Prices for both cotton and yarn has started to correct from peak and is expected to further correct in the near future. Outlook for the cotton crop looks good as there is indication of increased sowing in certain areas. We expect that next few months shall be challenging and the business will again gather positive momentum from FY 2023-2024. Moving on a demerger of our textile business, we have received an order from Honorable NCLT to conduct meeting of unsecured creditors on 18th August, unsecured creditors as well as the shareholders on 18th August. With this positive development, we shall be one step closer to complete the process by third quarter of this year. In the textile business, we had a fantastic journey in the last 20 years. Our revenue has grown by 15% CAGR to now 2,000 crore and EBITDA by 31% CAGR. Our average EBITDA margin in last 20 years has been 16%. Our focus going forward is on value-added segments. This will result in a margin expansion by 3%-4%. We are also focused on green energy, product basket expansion, and 20% volume growth every two years. I will now hand over to Raman and request him to share the financial performance of our company for the first quarter.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you in our earnings call. I'm going to share the financial highlights and segmental performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2022. Revenue for the quarter came in at rupees 1,371 crore as compared to 699 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year. This is a growth of 96% on year-on-year basis. On a sequential basis, revenue increased by 7% from rupees 1,279 crore in Q4 of FY22. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 429 crore, which has significantly increased by 169% from 159 crore in Q1 of FY22 and by 4% from 411 crore in Q4 of FY22. This represents an EBITDA margin of 31.3% for the current quarter compared to 22.8% in the similar quarter of corresponding quarter of last year and 32.1% in Q4 of FY22. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 339 crore rupees as compared to 85 crore rupees in Q1 FY22 and rupees 244 crore in Q4 FY22. PAT includes one-time gain of rupees 52 crore on account of HT business divestment, which is reported under exceptional items. This demonstrates a very strong performance across all the financial parameters due to strong momentum in the underlying business. Let me now share the segmental perspective. In the inorganic chemical segment, revenue came in at 1,096 crore rupees. This is higher by 108% compared to 527 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year and by 10% from Q4 FY22. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 364 crore, which translates into an EBITDA margin of 33.2%. This is up by 12% from Q1 of last year and slightly down by 0.5% from Q4 FY22, mainly due to the impact of trading activities. Our EBITDA per ton has increased by 13% on sequential basis. The reason for this strong performance in soda ash business is mainly due to price increases undertaken in the last few months. This has adequately covered the increase in energy and other raw material costs. We expect the higher realization to continue in the next quarter as well. Moving on the textile business, revenue for the current quarter stood at 275 crore as compared to 172 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year and 278 crore in Q4 FY22. This translates into a growth of 60% on year-on-year basis and it's down by 1% on a sequential basis. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 65 crore, which has increased from 48 crore in the same quarter of last year. This translates into an EBITDA margin of 23.5% for the current quarter. The impact of price correction in cotton and yarn will be felt in the coming quarters. For the quarter, we generated a cash flow after tax of 407 crore. During the quarter, we have paid a dividend of 143 crore and have repaid a debt of rupees 213 crore. Hence, our gross debt at the end of the quarter stood at has reduced to 572 crore as compared to 785 crore at the end of FY22. This represents a net debt to equity ratio of 0.16 times only. With this, I conclude my remarks and would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations sir for a very good set of numbers. So just a few things on the pricing of soda ash, that how much the overall realization growth was there in this quarter and going forward, how we are seeing this, as you already said that prices are likely to remain firm. However, these prices are largely dependent upon the demand and the input prices. So how the input prices are looking as of now, with a lot of commodity prices started correcting. So do we see any sort of price stability in the overall soda ash prices?
Yeah, Rohit, overall, as you rightly said, overall we have taken a price or the price realization has gone up by around 80%. Even in this quarter also we have taken two price increases. And as per my understanding, these prices are going to remain firm, at least for next 2-3 quarters. I'm very clear the prices are going to be very firm. Because globally also, I am not seeing any major supply coming in from any part of the world. And that will create, that will also keep the prices of soda ash firm. Second, it is also very important that even the rupee dollar, as you know, rupee dollar has also, dollar has appreciated. So that also will help the prices to remain firm.
Okay, okay. And in terms of demand, I mean, as we are talking about slow movement across the world and even this kind of inflationary pressure which we are talking about, so are we seeing any sort of demand contraction in any particular industry as such, or it is still we are in a healthy track?
You see, in terms of the demand, if I can say for global scenario, I'm not seeing any contraction in the demand scenario, primarily because this industry or this solar investment and the lithium, these are the two things which are definitely increasing the demand significantly. That is number one. Second, in India, one of the unique advantages is that because of the very global demand being firm, we are not seeing a lot of material coming into India, whereas earlier around 23% of the demand was met from the imports. Now that figure has gone down to around 13% approximately. So, and we don't see in the near future, be it US or be it China or be it some of the European countries also, we are not seeing a lot of material coming into India. That is number one. Second, as you know, Russia and Ukraine also has a soda ash, and the material was coming from Russia and Ukraine also to India. That has also stopped. So overall, I personally believe that I don't see any major demand coming down. Supply is also going to be restricted going forward also.
And we'll be able to maintain this kind of margin for at least a few quarters in the going forward?
I think so.
Right. And just last question on this exceptional item which gain we got from the sale of the business. So I think all adjustments are done from next quarter. I think we won't see any exceptional numbers, correct?
Yes.
Or still there would be some amount there. And the final payment of this all deal has been done, right?
Yes.
Okay, okay. So that is from my side. I'll come back into you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. So first question is generally how the demand-supply dynamics is behaving globally. If you could just let us know, because you rightly pointed out that the imports to India have come down and that has certainly helped us. But how the overall situation across different geographies, how it is behaving currently? That's for your assessment. Thank you.
First and foremost, I just want to highlight here, because very valid question you have raised. If you look at last, not today, if you look at last many years, this is a unique industry where demand and supply has been very balanced. Because if I have a data of last 15, 20 years, you can see that the demand and supply has almost gone hand to hand. So we have not seen a very large supply or the demand coming down, and because of that there is a glut on this situation. The second data which validates this, again very important, if you look at the soda ash pricing, in last 15 years soda ash prices has not gone down barring 1 or 2 years. So in 15 to 17 years, the soda ash prices has always been on the upside. That is number two. Number three, the cost, soda ash margin per ton has moved very significantly in last 15-17 years. Year after year, and the margin on, or the EBITDA margin in this business has been very consistent, ranging between 32, 35, 37%. Only the gap between these two is around 5 to 7%. And the last, which is not very, is also very important, is we have done an analysis that whether the sodas follow the commodity cycle. The soda does not follow the commodity cycle. We have captured this with the coal or with the metal or with the many other commodities, and we have seen there is no correlation between these two. Even if the raw material prices has gone down, soda prices has not gone down. So in a way, what I'm saying, Rohit, is that overall, if you look at all these things, I generally say that soda is not a commodity. It's not, and it does not correlate with any of the commodity or any of the raw material. Now, coming back to your specific question on the demand dynamics. Today, if you look at the US, which is approximately around 13 to 14 million of the production, they are almost including, because their natural market is more on their own market, and they have a South America. Plus some volume they were coming to, from that or to Southeast Asia and Middle East. Now that volume has been almost like a consistent. Their demand in the US has gone up. In the South America, the demand has gone up very significantly. So therefore, their volume coming into this part of the, even India used to get around 200,000 tons of the soda ash from that market. That is not now, is absolutely zero. Similarly, in China, if you look at one of the plants of 1.5 million has stopped, no new capacity has come in there, and their demand, because of the solar investment, the demand has also grown. So their presence also into the other part of the world has also gone down. Europe, again, balanced. So overall, if you look at in globe, no much, and that's a, if you look at in the totality, the India used to get something around 800,000 to 900,000 tons of the volume. Now that figure is not more than 5 to 6 lakh tons. So that way, what I was saying is that, and we don't see next 2 years, we don't see any major capacity coming in any part of the world. Maybe 25, 26, some volume will be coming in the China, which is a Mongolian plant, or some volume may be coming in the US plant. But this growth of even 2% in the global scenario will require around 1.2 million tons of extra production required. So we personally believe that next 2 years we don't see any major disbalance in the demand supply situation. I hope I've been able to answer your question.
Yes, sir. This was quite elaborate. So the second question is, what is the status update on our project? And generally speaking, for a synthetic greenfield expansion, I think for us, we have indicated that it will take about 3 years. If somebody were to go for expansion for the natural soda ash, what is the time difference for both things? Thank you.
See, Rohit, if you look at the natural soda ash is only possible in the some part of the world. Like I said, some part in the Mongolia, which they are exploring, that Turkey is another, and you have in the US. Barring that, in Africa, one plant is there. If somebody wants to come with a new greenfield, what you call natural plant, that also will take almost the same time frame, except one, which is the land acquisition. And more particularly in the Indian space, land acquisition itself takes a lot of time. So that could be a differentiation between the greenfield and the or the natural soda ash versus the synthetic soda ash. Otherwise, the time frame will remain the same. In terms of our greenfield project, again, in the same land acquisition, we are working on that. But still, we have not we have not been able to close everything on that footprint. So that kind of a hindrance definitely in Indian space is there, land acquisition.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, so much, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity, and congratulations for a very steady set of numbers. Firstly, Raman sir, you mentioned about margins being lower because of trading aspect. Could you clarify more on the same, sir?
Yeah, because in our inorganic chemicals, we definitely undertake some trading activity on the chemical side, and the trading generates for a year almost 200 crore of top line, on which usually we make around 2 to 3% margin. These are where we use, you know, our existing, I would say, leverage our existing marketing infrastructure. And last year, Q4, we had almost 76 crore of trading volume and almost 2.5 crore of profit. This quarter, because of large volatility, we have a 108 crore top line with a break-even kind of situation. So that has basically impacted, you know, the margin. To on an inorganic chemical, if you look at, there is a slight drop in the margin. But if you look at pure play soda ash business, the margins, even in terms of the percentage also, have remained or more or less the same, or slightly increased during this quarter.
I just want to highlight here what Raman has said. If you look at in terms of the percentage, it remains the same. But if you look at the per ton, it is significantly higher as compared to last quarter.
I have already said in my speech there, it has gone up by almost 13% per ton.
And the second point again, as you know, that the January, March is the peak quarter for everything. Because being the what you call winter season, the production is also higher. Even your cost of raw material is also on the lower side. So, in spite of that, we have been able to maintain the percentage margin.
Sir, what have been the utilization levels from the first quarter?
No, like Raman has already said, that 13% of the
margin pattern
has gone up, and that is primarily, as I said, primarily because of higher realization. We have, as compared to last quarter, we have taken almost around 2 price increases. And that has really helped us to increase our EBITDA per ton.
I was asking for the utilization levels, sir. What have been the utilization levels currently for the first quarter?
Q1? We are almost at the peak, Takeji. We are almost at the peak of the utilization. And the good thing is that first time I would say that in our, at least for last many years, that in this season also our utilization has been is an excellent, sir.
Okay. I think the last time you mentioned about 1 lakh per ton record production and numbers were given by you. So that 1 lakh per ton per month was repeated for any time in this quarter in team main number?
Almost closer to that.
Okay. Sir, coming to the point of now the raw material basket, sir. You spoke and elaborate on how the dynamics of the soda ash industry is currently poised. And as per your understanding also that it is a tight market. So, and current off late, sir, I think the raw material prices, I think, to about coal and all have been started trending lower. So how is our raw material basket currently shaped, and do you foresee any incremental increase in volume, incremental increase in margin on account of softening of these raw material prices going ahead, and also on the salt, integration part, I think. So we were in on the verge of some contract for an offtake, which we were emphasizing earlier. Which we can update the batana change.
Two things, Takeji, on the salt side, which I mentioned last time also, that process is on. Obviously, the benefit of that I've said in the past call also. The benefit of that will be seen in the next year, because the crop season starts from January March onwards. So the benefit of that, usage of that will be next year. That's number one. Second, in terms of the softening of the raw material prices, if you look at the salt prices up till now is not softened. But people are expecting that the next crop becomes good. Probably some softening can happen, and definitely that will help in overall cost reduction in the salt. However, that also, according to me, will be seen next year only. Because this year we have already covered the salt requirement in the season, so I don't see any major benefit coming in. In terms of the other raw material also, like your energy and all the things, as we have seen the benefit of that, because we have covered on the low prices, because generally we cover the all the energy for almost around 5 to 6 months. So any reduction in the energy prices, also the benefit you will be seeing almost in the next year. So in a summary, what I'm trying to say is, the way I look at it, the margin of this kind of healthy margin should be maintained this year, maybe 1% here and there, margin should be maintained. and any major impact on the margin may be seen on the positive side maybe next year. But it all depends on how the scenario pans out in the next 9 months.
And what have been the price hikes, sir, for the first quarter, if you could quantify? And that benefits will flow, I think so, in the coming quarter only.
No, we have taken the price increase and some of the contracts which are on, yes, some price increase will be there, or some realization pattern will improve. But accordingly, the cost of raw material, because we had some cheaper raw material, now we will have a slightly higher cost of raw material. So probably the margin will range around in the same range.
And so as you were telling about the seasonality factor, Q1 being where the production is also high. So now we are entering the monsoon, or we are in the midst of this monsoon quarter. So again, we could be experiencing some slackening, or due to this solar demand being on an uptake. Sir, what kind of, sir, soda ash volumes are being sold for solar panels manufacturing from us, sir? I mean, how much of our soda ash is being catered for this solar panel demand?
No, Saket, on the specific number, it will be difficult for me to give you. But I can only tell you that even in this season, except that, like I said in my initial remark, except on the detergent side, the demand on the solar panel or on the flat glass or on the bottle glass, they're all very robust. We are not seeing any demand coming down or demand pressure. We are not seeing. Probably in the seasonality, some production could be slightly down for the industry because of the seasonality. Otherwise, demand is no issue.
Okay, so we can rely on, not on rely, sir, but we can believe, we have a sense of belief that these numbers are having core strength and these are sustainable earning, and these are not one-off creation because of some raw material prices going up and increase in other way. What we see in other businesses that there is fluctuation in the earning, but here we can expect 1-2% here or there. A sustainable set of earnings in the inorganic chemical part I'm talking is sustainable. This is what the inference can be drawn.
Yes.
Right, sir. And a small point, sir, then I'll come to the few, sir. Sir, about this capital allocation policy currently, sir. As earlier, sir, when we came out with this dividend distribution policy and of 15-20% distribution, at that time, sir, we were also having the home textile business under our fold. And now, with the divestment of home textile business consummating in the first quarter, does it warrant a relook in terms of the incremental cash flow that we are generating currently from our core business? If your thought process on the thing, because this factor may be one of the way in which the re-rating aspect which is happening currently will get boost. That is my understanding, depending upon how the capital allocation is going to be ahead from now.
See, Saketji, let me tell you, we have a very, clear-cut thought in our mind about the capital allocation. And one of the beneficiary of the capital allocation is our shareholders. And which you have seen a very consistent distribution of dividend along with the two buybacks. You have seen that. And as you know that today, because of this demerger, the buyback is not possible. But we will keep that into mind about the properly distributing the earning to the shareholders going forward also, either in the form of dividend or in the form of buyback. Second, as you know that this, for any business, a responsible growth is also very important, and we will keep on investing the money into the business to get a better return for the shareholders. And in terms of the debt, as you know that we have already clearly said, we don't want to be very under-leveraged also, but we don't want to be over-leveraged also. Therefore, our capital allocation philosophy is three: reasonable debt equity, reward to the shareholders in terms of the buyback or the dividend, and put the money into the growth, and that will continue. And as you know, the last 6 years we have distributed 500 crores to our shareholders, either in the form of dividend or in the form of buyback. And this kind of a process will continue going forward also.
Right. Sir, I would like to come in the queue for the follow-up. I have a couple of them, but in the paucity of time, I'll come in the queue and all the best to the team. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So I have a few questions. So first one is on the greenfield capex. You mentioned that some portion of the land acquisition is still going on and may close in some time. So is there any timelines in terms of by when you will start the greenfield capex actually on the ground? Can help with that.
The two things I just want to highlight here, Resham. On one side, some of the work on the ground has already started. And this is not a physical activity. One of the pipeline which is required, the sea pipeline, the contract has been awarded on that to an agency, international agency. And on the other side, on a technical consultancy, we are evaluating two international firms, and I think in next few weeks that contract also will get awarded. I think hopefully by January we should be in a position to get the environmental clearances, where the public hearing is likely to happen by end of September. After that, maybe few months will be required for getting the final approval from the government, and after that probably by March 2023. We will be in a position to start the physical activity. Am I right, Raman?
Absolutely.
So March 2023 onwards, January to March 2023, we will be in a position to start the activity of the greenfield project. And hopefully, still our target is March 25. We should try to complete that. Because the longest duration was with this pipeline, which we have already awarded the contract.
Okay. So the from the cash utilization perspective, any capex from cash perspective will happen only in 23 now. Maybe minor deposits or something might happen.
Marginal capex will be there on the land acquisition, which we are still some land we are acquiring. There will be marginal this year. We have put around 20-25, maybe 30 crore rupees, but major capex will be only. Will start incurring towards from the middle of next year. And that would one say. That also is not very significant. But major significant outgo will be on the subsequent year.
And has there been any change in the capex outlay in terms of your budget?
We said that this will be in the vicinity of around 3,500 crore rupees. So that is what we believe we'll be able to accomplish our job.
And one thing I just want to highlight here, one of the things which we are doing probably could be a benchmark for us. We are talking to many of the experts and we are definitely looking at a much, I would say, better technology, different concept, because we have engaged some of the consultants which are one of the best. A lot of thoughts are going on the how to have the lower emission, how to have the lower capital cost, person, how do you have a better your operating cost. So a lot of thoughts are going to make, because this kind of plant we have built for 100 years. So therefore all these thoughts of green energy or the low emission or the better technology, larger equipment, we are slightly going
Yeah, there is some important call. Just give us half a minute for that, and Mr. Jinal will be coming back on this.
Yeah. No problem.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he's back. Mr. Jalan is back, so we can
I'm extremely sorry because there was a certain very important call, so I could not avoid it at all. Of course, this is relating to the new greenfield project only. Yeah, sorry. Can we?
Yeah, Resham ji.
Hi, Resham ji. Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear you clearly.
So I don't know whether I've been able to answer your question or.
I got it. Sir, another question. This is more on this quarter's number. The home textile amount in terms of the divestment amount, I think it's close to 600 odd crores. And you have generated around 400 odd crores. So total 1,000 crores of cash generation has happened in this quarter. And I think in your presentation, you mentioned 535 crores of total cash outflow in terms of dividend, capex and working capital. So I was just wondering why your debt is still there, because there has been a total 1,000 crores kind of cash generation during the quarter. So in your March end debt number was around 540 odd crores. So am I missing something here?
Yeah, well, I think listen, here the money of 600 crore which had come from Indocount, the some money had come in the last year and some money had come in this year. So we'll just give you the number what exactly happened this year. Our cash profit is approximately around 400 crores. Okay?
Right.
And we got roughly around 200 crores net of tax, right? So, because this 407 crore includes the gain of 52 crores is already built into this 400 crores. So over and above that 52 crores, we got around 170 crores from the Indocount this year. Balance we got last year. Okay? And we spent around 100 crores on the capex. Loan we have paid 200 crores. Working capital, there is a change or there is an increase in the working capital around 250 crores. 143 crores we have paid the dividend. And 28 crore is basically the other which is primarily your deferred tax provision, so it's in the mode of an accounting part. So total outflow is around 731 crore against 580 crore of inflow. We had around 240 crore which we got from the Indocount last year. So that money was lying in the bank. So that we have utilized. Still, we have around 100 crores of working your next net cash into the balance sheet. Now, one more thing I just want to highlight here is, see, one of the things which has happened, which is good for the GSCL is, because of the very high raw material prices as well as the very high product prices, be it a soda or be it a textile, the working capital requirement has significantly gone up in last 1.5 years. Because you know that the soda ash prices are almost gone by 80%. And even if you keep an inventory of 7 days, so your working capital requirement has gone up. Similarly, the receivable. Similarly, the inventory coal prices has gone up. So a lot of working capital requirements has gone up. And we have been able to manage this without increasing the debt. Almost, if I can give you the number, almost around 600 crores or more than 600 crores?
780, almost 800 crores.
800 crores of the working capital requirement has gone up in last 1.5 years because of the pricing and some inventory volume also, because the production has gone up. Even in the spinning also, because the yarn prices have gone up, cotton prices from 40,000 to 100,000, so all those things has created a kind of a big requirement of working capital. This we have been able to finance without any single loan taken from. In spite of that, we have paid around 200 crores of debt this quarter itself. The moment this some softness happened in the raw material prices next year, 2023-24, probably a lot of money will get released from the working capital also. I hope that...
Understood, sir. Yeah, this is very clear, sir. And sir, just one last part of my question is...
I request you to come back in the queue.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Araj M. from Millie Consultant. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening and congratulations on superb number. My question is on material security. Basically, I just wanted to understand. Basically, you need three raw materials, so salt, limestone, and coal. So you have been using lignite also in your process. So my first question in that respect is that what is the percentage of overall coal consumption is by way of lignite? And remaining is the coking coal or it is something normal coal which you need? Similarly, that what percentage of your salt is captive and what percentage of salt you are buying from the market? Of course, limestone is your own mine, so there is no question on that. So if you can clarify, it will be helpful.
Good. Thank you very much, this question. First and foremost, let me address the limestone itself first. We have the captive mine, but still, 80% of our limestone requirement is met from the imported limestone. So we are importing 80% of our limestone, and because the quality of these limestones are extraordinarily good, and this improves our productivity very significantly. So that's to clarify that we are using the imported limestone, right, number one. Now coming to the salt. Salt, last 2 years, because of the adverse weather condition, our captive salt production was not very significant. And because of that, almost around 70% of the consumption we have been using from the purchased salt. However, we have now, which I briefed last time in the call, we are taking a big initiative on the salt, captive salt production. Hopefully next 2 years, this figure will be going around 50% will be the purchased salt and 50% will be the captive salt. This is what the plan we are working out for the next 2 years. The third is on the coal and lignite. We are approximately, if I go on a tonnage basis, we are using something around 30% of lignite. We are using some of the petcoke also in the mix, and we are using approximately around 50% of the coal in the overall this thing, which is a steam coal, not the metallurgical coal.
Okay.
Coke we are using for our kiln, which is more like a raw material.
So the salt will be you will be able to procure captively, or you will have to resort to open market purchases.
Right now, right now more than 80% of
all your expansion, sir. Greenfield expansion. I am just.
Okay, greenfield expansion. Right now, we have applied for the government for the salt lease. If that happens, then it will be 100% captive. But whatever the time takes there, till we get that land, then it will be dependent on the purchase salt. However, one advantage in that area will be there, because that area, such area, has an ample amount of salt production. Lot of new salt leases has been given by the government. So we personally believe this is going to be a competitive advantage for us to procure the salt from the purchase source. Also, will not have any adverse impact on us.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers. Hi, sir. Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
You are loud.
Yeah, yeah. So, sir, I just want to know one thing is if you see the EBIT margins, seems to have come down, right? So, like from quarter on quarter, it was in 33.9%, it has come down to 32.3%. So, I just want to know, is this two rate hikes that you have taken, has it come into it already in quarter one, or would that some of that rate hike will come up in this quarter two?
No, if you look at in terms of the EBIT margin in inorganic chemical, it has gone down from 31.6% to 31.2%, which Raman has already explained. This is primarily because of the trading activity, because the trading activity last year had some margin and the volume was less.
this year the volume is high and there the margin is only 2 to 3%. Because of this, in terms of the inorganic purchase soda, the margin is slightly higher as compared to last quarter.
Okay, so but the price hikes that were taken are already taken into effect from quarter one, right? There is no fresh price hike that has been taken in quarter two, right?
In the first quarter, we have taken a price increase. The second quarter has just started. Only 1 month has passed. We don't know whether there is any price correction or the price upcharge. We don't know right now.
Oh, okay. So, sir, but in general, to understand this business as a whole, as in the soda ash business, are we, you know, you've been saying continuously that historically as well, there is not much, you know, difference in the supply and demand, etc. And we have not moved according to the general bulk chemicals commodity cycle. Are we at a point where if we say take further price high at the new price level, the demand would go down for the product? Are we at that position today? I just want to know, because historically it has been very close net. So I just want to know, today the price is at a very high level. So are we at a point where if we take one or two more price hikes at that higher elevated price, the demand would go down?
See, I personally believe that the demand will not go down. Maybe in the detergent little bit, because of the consumers will not be able to afford the detergent, the powder. But overall in other segment, no. However, what will happen is, because ultimately there are competition also in the business. So if we increase the price and the competition starts selling more, or the material coming from import, tomorrow the material, if we go for an unreasonable price, the import volume can go up and that can jeopardize your interest. So therefore, obviously you have to take the price taking into account the global scenario as well as the domestic scenario.
Okay, okay. Just one more question on my side, sir. On the textile division side, what is at this position, what inventory levels are we sitting at? Because I am presuming this inventories are high cost inventories, considering there has been a significant reduction in cost in last few weeks. And we might see some margin pressure in quarter two or quarter three. So by when this high cost inventory do you think will get rid of? I mean, will get, you know, will sail off or in such a way that we might see again good margin levels? So if you could give me a timeline, general timeline, and make me understand.
So first and foremost, good news is that we don't have a large inventory of yarn, where we can have a kind of a pressure on that margin. Similarly, on the cotton side, our inventory at this point of the time is even cheaper than the current price of the cotton. And we personally believe this will not have any impact on the margin because of the high inventory of raw material or the finished goods. However, going forward, if the yarn prices goes down and the cotton prices does not enter the yarn prices, probably the margin pressure could be there, but that's a business cycle. But good part is that that we are running the plant 100%, and because of our product basket, our product basket of the high quality of the premium product, we are not seeing any major impact on our sales side, and we are running the plant full.
Okay. Good to know, sir. Good to know. I'll join back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So just one question on the capacities which you have as of today. So on soda ash, I think you mentioned that there has been some debottlenecking which is happening. So you may get some capacity available to you during the year. And on sodium bicarb also, there has been some increase in capacity. So if you can just explain this 1 lakh per ton, is there any scope for it to improve till the greenfield plant comes in, and also on the sodium bicarb?
See, in terms of the soda, we don't see any major capacity expansion or the volume expansion happen. Of course, seasonality will make some difference. But on the sodium bicarbonate, as you are right, we are doubling the capacity. That will happen by tentatively by November, December kind of a scenario. So maybe in the last quarter of this year, probably some advantage will be seen, but full advantage of that will also happen next year. But that will be a significant. And one good thing also I will talk about here is the NTPC trial on the sodium bicarbonate has been going very well. They have restarted after the COVID, and hopefully that will expand into the major demand next year. Even on the soda ash also, as you know, that a lot of people are going for a massive soda, massive solar investment because of the green hydrogen. That will also help to have a significant growth into the soda ash demand going forward.
Okay. Do we have, sir, extra land with at the same location for increasing sodium bicarb capacity, or we are now full at the existing plant?
No, like I said, the one existing plant which we are doing currently, that space is there already. And with this plant does not require too much of land, and therefore even if we have to, suppose tomorrow we have to increase by another 30-40%, we can do the same location. Even frankly speaking, we are looking at the old plant, how to look at that plant to increase the production in that plant itself. So overall, how do we increase the overall capacity of the plant at the current location itself?
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So just one clarification. What was the price by end of soda ash price by end of June?
The soda ash pricing will be difficult because being a competition data, it should be difficult for us. We have given you the range of the increase which has happened. And probably offline, if you want, we can give it to the data. But,
right. Right, right. No worries, sir. Sir, and soda ash current capacity is 11.5 lakh tons. That is correct, right?
In terms of capacity, if you can say that, I would say that we are approximately around 11 lakh tons, and we are running at almost at the full.
Because I understand we had 50,000 debottlenecking underway, and that was supposed to get commissioned.
That is already commissioned, and that's the reason you are seeing that even if I tell you the capacity is around 12 lakhs and we are using 95% of the figure, will be coming in the same range. Okay.
Okay. And right.
We are almost running at, you could say, 100%. But that is because of that only, that the debottlenecking which we have done.
Sure, sure. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, for the increase in capacity of the sodium bicarbonate, what would be the annual increase in revenue for the next financial year?
I think almost you can say, if I take the current pricing around 30,000 rupees multiplied by approximately around 50,000 rupees, just do the calculation. 30,000 tons, sorry, 50,000 tons multiplied by 30,000. Approximately 150 crore.
Mr. Kapoor?
Yeah. 150 crore, sir. Okay. Sir, now another point was, sir, we had an enabling resolution. We were trying for some, I think so, 100 crore rupees fundraising through some new instrument. So any update on the same? How are we going ahead with it?
No, at this point of time, we don't have any plan today. That was more of an enabling provision. Whenever we see an opportunity or the appropriate time, we will raise that. Otherwise, at this point of time, no plan.
Okay. Sir, and sir, about this, you have articulated that the downtrend which the yarn industry is currently experiencing, we are somewhat insulated from the same because of our product mix. This is a good conclusion we can draw from.
The second is two things I just want to tell you. I think in my call 6 months back itself, I have said
yes,
the yarn trend looks to be on the downward side,
yes,
and which has happened. Okay, that is number one. At this point of time, in any business, you can't say that you are completely isolated, you are protected from the industry testing. But the impact on us will be much lesser. Like some of the competition, large competition, they've stopped some of their machines. But in our case, we are running at full 99% utilization. Second, we are not having a large inventory of the yarn. So these are the, but if the yarn prices have gone down in the market, that definitely that will have an impact on you.
Correct, correct.
But like I said, Saketji, we must understand, like I am saying in soda, I don't see too much of cyclicality or the volatility in the prices or in the margin also. Whereas in the spinning, if you look at the longer term, just I have given you the data, last 20 years my average EBITDA margin on the spinning, which is a benchmark probably I would call it, Ajay, of 16%, which includes the number which where we were on a commodity cycle. Now in last 3 years we have moved from a commodity to the premium segment, and that will give us around 3 to 4% better margin over the 16%. However, that will be slightly on a medium term basis. Quarter by quarter, you can't compare this industry.
Yes, sir, absolutely right, sir. In your presentation, you did mention about the situation for soda ash to be very difficult. I mean, difficult operations that for Europe because of the gas availability. Sir, if you could articulate to us, how is the soda ash industry currently in Europe, and how is that affecting the total the environment there because of this gas non-availability? What has gone wrong for the soda ash producers in Europe?
See, as of now, I don't see any major disruption on the supply side, in the production side. I don't see that because till now they are getting the energy from either from Russia or some other country. But going forward, probably there could be a challenge. However, they have been able to pass on this energy hike cost to the consumer by way of an energy surcharge. So I personally believe there will be not too much of disturbance into their supply going forward also. But who knows, I don't know how the scenario of Ukraine and Russia war is going to be.
Correct, sir. So thank you for all the elaborate answers, and we're looking forward for the sustainability in the numbers that have sustainability and predictability as has been the case for us, being guided by you and the management team. And all the best, sir. Looking forward for more future interaction. Namaskar.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Raviji. Hello, Ramanji. I had a question. So do we use coal in the manufacturing of soda ash? Is it used in any proportion at all, sir?
Yes, Vikasji, as just said in the earlier question, that we are using for the energy and the steam, or power and steam, we are using coal along with the lignite as well as some pet coke also. And approximately around 50% of the usage is in the form of coal, and the balance 50% is the lignite and the pet coke.
Sir, the reason I was asking is I just read a report where Europe is banning Russian coal, and therefore they are going to import coal from other parts of the world, like Australia and so on. So therefore the price of coal is going to go up. And so are you seeing any such things, sir, in your business?
Yes, because like you rightly said, Russian coal is much cheaper as compared to the other part of the world, and more particularly the high quality of the coal which we are buying, definitely there is an upside on that coal. But somewhere, my personal belief is that next few months, the prices of the coal should get stabilized or maybe slightly going on the lower side. This is what my belief is. Because China and India also has started a big amount of coal importing from Russia. So that will also make an impact on the overall demand of this, from the other part of the world. So definitely that will soften the price of the coal.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team. Over to you, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much to MK Global as well as the hosting team. And to all the participants and the questions, I always say that your questions, your thought-provoking questions definitely help us to do. And our endeavor is always going to be create a value for our stakeholders. That is the mission which the GSL has, and which you have seen over a period of last 7-8 years. We have been able to build that, I think, our performance, and we'll continue to do that going forward as well. Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.